Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, we are beginning the fifth week of our teaching on grace and faith. This is going to be my final week of teaching. I used to have a single teaching out on grace and faith, and I had a book out on it that was a very small book. It was basically taken from a single teaching that I did on grace and faith. We've now expanded that. I taught it at one of our Gospel Truth seminars, and we've expanded it to five teachings. The book has expanded to include the teaching on the Sabbath rest, which I taught last week. And so this is a brand new book. This is the release of our brand new book. I fought them over putting my picture on the cover, but I lost that one. They just kept coming up with sorry covers, and time was nearing the end, and so we did that. But anyway, it's a great book, and I tell you, this changed my life. And so I want to encourage you that this is our last week of teaching on grace and faith, and you really need to get hold of this teaching. We have it in workbooks. We have it in CD, DVDs, DVD as seen on TV, as well as DVDs that are from a meeting. So please take advantage of this. Now, what I want to share this week, talking about grace and faith, is to make an application of what this truth has meant to my life. And actually, I could teach 100 things right here, because this truth on grace and faith, that grace is God's part and it's already accomplished. It's independent of me. It's independent of what I deserve. Faith is my part. And it's not something I do to get God to respond to me. God has already provided before I even existed, before I had a need, before I did anything good or bad. Faith isn't something I do to gain a response from God, but faith is my positive response to what I believe God has already done. Now, that truth, and that's what I've been teaching for 4 weeks here on our program, that teaching has revolutionized my life in the area of healing, in the area of finances, in the area of relationships, in the area of vision. I mean, you could just name anything, and I've taken this truth and applied it across the board to just about everything. And this is really one of the foundational things that has just revolutionized my life. So I could teach it in a lot of different ways, but what I want to do this week is to just apply this to what I consider to be probably the most positive benefit of me understanding God's grace, and my faith is just a positive response to what He's already done. And that is that this has helped me in my personal relationship with God to understand His love is unconditional, and to understand that when I mess up, God doesn't turn away from me. He's not responding to me and to my actions. And when I do good, God doesn't love me more. It has set me free from a performance-based relationship with God. Now, that's easy to say, but I'm going to spend all week long expounding on this and teaching on this from Scripture. And I know in my life, this has been one of the biggest strongholds I've ever had to get past thinking that God loved me because of some worth or value that I had. The moment you believe that and embrace that and start basing God's love for you on something that you've done to make you lovely, well, then that the flip side of this coin is that the moment you quit being lovely, which is more often than most of us would like to admit, amen, the moment you mess up, then guilt and condemnation and separation is going to come. You cannot begin down this path of starting to base your relationship with God on your own performance. If you do, then when you mess up, you come under terrible guilt and condemnation. I've dealt with that, and the people that I deal with, I think that this is probably more prevalent than anything that I have to deal with, and it affects every single area of your life. Now, not everybody watching me right now and has heard me say these words understands or gets the full impact of what I'm saying. I may not be saying it in a way that is communicating to you properly, but I can tell you that this is what you need. This is what people deal with constantly. Somebody might think, you know what, I don't have a problem there. I just need to know about healing. If you understood how much God loved you And if you really understood that it was unconditional and you felt no guilt or condemnation, no sense of unworthiness, then the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that faith works by love. In Christ Jesus, circumcision avails nothing nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith works by love. If you understood God's love and if you had a full revelation of it and it was unconditional, I guarantee you your faith would shoot through the roof. Healing would be no problem to you. Prosperity would be no problem to you. If you really knew that God loved you. And this is hard for me to teach because people say, oh, yes, I know that God loved me. This is kind of a mantra that we have. Everybody says, oh, yes, God loves me. And then they turn around and say that because I haven't gone to church or I didn't pay my tithes, God killed my son and took this and God let my business fail. And this is the reason my marriage failed. And God did these things because he loves me. And so the word love really to most people is just something we say, but we really don't believe it. We certainly don't believe it's an unconditional love. And most people feel that they are in some stage of God rejecting them or punishing them. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Even though I can't see you right now, I've ministered to so many people. I know that there are people thinking, well, who's that? That's not me. You know, let me give some examples that I've had people come up after I minister and they want prayer and that we believe in the miraculous power of God. So we have prayer lines and we pray with people and we see the blind eyes open and deaf ears open. Just last week, I prayed with a man who before the service who had macular degeneration and could just barely see me. He just barely had an outline and he was explaining to me he wouldn't be able to come back to the meetings because this was Sunday morning and it was only in bright daylight that he could even come close to driving. He couldn't read or do anything like that. I prayed with him. At the end of the service, he came forward to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I gave him a book on that that would explain it. And he turned around to me, and he looked at it and read the title of that book, opened it up, and started reading the small print. In just an hour or two, we saw people that couldn't even have told you what the title of the book was beginning to start reading the small print. We see miracles happen. And so at the end of my meetings, people come forward for prayer. And I've heard this in the prayer lines thousands of times. And people will say, I don't understand why I'm not healed. And I've done this. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I'm studying the Word. I'm living as holy as I can. And I've done this, this, and this. How come God hasn't healed me? See, a person who says something like that, you may not understand what I'm saying, but you are saying that you believe God's love towards you is conditional. You believe that the release of His power towards you is conditional upon how you're behaving. And I know that there's people all around the world right now that are saying, well, it's true. It is true. No, it's not true. One of the applications of understanding this grace and faith is I have learned that God loves me by grace. Before I ever existed, 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son Jesus to die for me and to forgive me. And everything I will ever need, everything I have or will ever need, was already provided by God through Jesus 2,000 years ago before I was born, before I did anything good or bad. It's grace. It's independent of me. It is separate from me. But God's grace doesn't change me alone. I have to respond in faith and I have to believe and receive. Or if I doubt, I do without. It isn't just grace. Now, see, this is what I've taught prior to this. I've spent 4 weeks trying to make these points that God, by grace, has already moved. He's already provided everything. Before you ever got sick, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed 2,000 years ago. It's already done. It is not based on whether you do everything right. So does that mean that it's just totally up to God's grace? No, because you're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. You have to put faith in it, but your faith doesn't make God move. God has already moved. It's like in a bank account. You've already got the money deposited, but you have to go to the bank and make a withdrawal. You have to do something. And so if a person says, well, see, because I did something, that means that this was all based on what I did. God moved in response to me. No, it'd be like me. If I put the money in your bank, it would be a total grace gift. It would be yours. It would be there. It's at your disposal. But you have to write a check on it, or you have to go to the bank and make a deposit. It would be possible for you to have millions of dollars in your account. But if you didn't know how to make a deposit, if you didn't know how to write a check, if you didn't know what you had, then you could live an entire life in poverty and this whole time have all of this money in your savings account, and you just didn't know what you have or didn't know how to take care of it. God has already deposited everything. Everything that you will ever need is already done, and your faith is just how you reach out and withdraw, make a withdrawal, appropriate what God already has. But one of the truths in this that has set me free is that that means that God loved me and gave me everything, not because I was lovely, but because God is love. And one of the applications of this whole truth that I've been teaching on grace and faith is that it has helped me to understand that God's love for me is absolutely unconditional. And you know, the only thing that Satan ever had on me was my failure, my sin, my unworthiness. Satan has never been able to convince me that God doesn't have the power and the ability. You know, the very fact that you call him God, that means that he is almighty and that he has the power. Most people do not doubt God's ability. What they are doubting is God's willingness to use his ability, because they think that his power, the release of his power on our behalf, is conditional based on how we behave. And see, that totally voids all of these things I've been teaching about grace and faith. God has already provided everything for you. If you need to be healed today, God isn't looking at you and evaluating, well, have you prayed enough? Have you fasted? Have you been going to church? Have you paid your tithes? If you haven't been performing well, if you aren't holy enough, then God's liable to let you just die because you haven't done everything correctly. Now, that might be stated a little bit stronger, a little bit more out in the open than what most people would have phrased it, but that's exactly the way that most people believe. The reason I'm not healed is because I haven't done this and this and this. And that's the reason that when they come to a prayer line, they'll say, I've fasted, I've prayed, I've done all of these things. Why hasn't God healed me? You're telling me why God hasn't healed you because you aren't pointing to God's grace, what he has already provided by grace, and just saying that, man, I'm receiving what God has done. It's unconditional. I receive it as a grace gift. No, you are saying, I've done this and this and this. I've earned this. What else does God expect me to do? You are saying, without saying it, that you believe that you do these things and then God responds to you and heals. No, God has already healed. Now, are you going to respond to him in faith and confess the word and be at peace and receive what God has provided? Or are you going to fall into this religious thing to where you believe you have to earn God's blessing in your life by doing all of these things, bartering with God, trading with God, going to church? And if you get a perfect attendance for 4 weeks or something, you can cash in 1 month of church attendance for one answer to prayer. Amen. You know, again, people wouldn't say things this way, but this is the way they think. I know, because this is the way that I thought prior to the Lord giving me this revelation. And I deal with lots of people. And this is the number one thing. One of the great truths in my life that I've come to understand through this teaching on grace and faith is that God loved me before the foundation of the world, is what it says in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and other places. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain for my sins. Before you and I existed, before the human race, before God even created Adam and Eve, he knew that there was going to be a rejection. And he loved us before we even existed to such a degree that he was willing to suffer the rejection and the break in the relationship. He anticipated that there had to be a sacrifice made for our sins so that we could come back into fellowship. And it says that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before you and I existed, before we did anything wrong, God anticipated what we would do wrong and loved us anyway, and that's grace. He gave this to us. And so God's grace is unconditional, unearned. undeserved. And again, I hope that I'm communicating and that you're getting what I'm saying. But it has revolutionized my life to understand that God loves me because He is love and not because I'm lovely. Boy, that has changed my life. And it set me free from condemnation. And like I started to say just a moment ago, the only thing Satan ever had on me was not an ability to impugn God's character. I believe God can do anything. The only thing that Satan ever effectively used against me was to say, oh yeah, God can do anything for others, but not for you because you don't deserve it. And my own conscience would condemn me and let me know that, yes, I am not deserving and I don't do everything right. And it's never been that I don't believe God has the power. It's always been that I didn't believe God would be willing to use His power on my behalf because I didn't deserve it. And this understanding that grace, God moves by grace. Everything He does is by grace. And faith is just my way of appropriating it. Faith doesn't move God. Faith doesn't make God love me. It just takes faith for me to believe that by grace, God has already given me His love. When I understood this, it has set me free from that sense of unworthiness and condemnation that used to keep God at arm's length. I believed He had the power, but I just couldn't believe that He would use that power on my behalf. And I have been set free from that. I'm being set free. I don't know that it's something that you ever get completely free from because the whole world system, everything in our lives operates on this performance mentality. You perform well, you get blessed. You get bonuses, you get raises, you get kudos. People pat you on the back. You perform badly and people criticize you. And that is so prevalent in marriages, in children, in school, in work, in every single thing. If you drive down the road, if you do well, they leave you alone. If you do badly, they stop you and give you a ticket and stuff. And the whole world system, everything is based on a performance, how well you perform. But when it comes to God, your performance doesn't dictate anything that God does. God, by grace, has already provided everything for you. And it is unconditional. Performance has nothing to do with God. Now, performance still has something to do with you. Your holiness does not make God love you more, nor does your lack of holiness make God love you less. But if you don't live holy, your unholiness will harden your heart towards God. It doesn't harden God's heart towards you, but it'll harden your heart towards God. Hebrews chapter 3 talks about this, about, as it is said, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. And then it goes on to talk about you harden your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin hardens your heart towards God. It makes you insensitive towards God. It doesn't make God insensitive towards you. God is always dealing with you based on grace. Even when you mess up, even when you are unworthy, God loves you not because you are worthy or unworthy, but because of His grace. But if you continue to live a life of sin, sin hardens your heart towards God. So yes, it is true that I do need to go to church. I do need to study the Word. I do need to seek God. I do need to resist all of the things of the devil and not give him inroads into my life. And so I do live a holy life as much as I can because it makes my heart sensitive towards God. But man, it changed my life and set me free to recognize that my holiness or lack thereof does not affect God's heart towards me. It affects my heart towards God. It affects my ability to receive His grace by faith, but it does not affect God's grace. Man, that's powerful. I know that some of you, this may not be ringing your bell, but this took me 20 years to get to where I understood that and to where I could say it. And it has revolutionized my life. This is one of the greatest applications of this whole teaching on grace and faith, is just the way that it's affected my personal relationship. And I've come to realize that God loves me unconditionally. I didn't do anything to make God love me. I can't do anything to make God quit loving me. God loves me, period. And I can't do anything about it. Now, I can keep from receiving it. I may not walk in the blessings of it, but I cannot change God's love for me. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you can't change God's love for you. God loves you in spite of who you are, not because of who you are. Now, there's things you can do to make yourself more receptive, to learn the truth and to build your faith and to shut a door on the devil. And I agree with all of those things. But your faith does not make God extend grace towards you. The truth is God's already given you grace freely. It's yours. And now it's just a matter of will you believe and receive. I'm going to continue to share this all week long and just expound on this of scripture after scripture. And I believe it's going to help you. I think it is. It'll make a big difference in your life if it touches you half as much as it's touched me. Again, I want to encourage you to get the materials. This is going to be my last week of teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith. Listen to our announcer as he explains to you about the materials we have available, and then call or write today.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This five-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The fifth teaching in the CD album titled God Loves Me Unconditionally is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA27C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you today can see the benefit of what I'm saying. You can see how it sets you free. You see the potential of it for setting other people free from just all the religious observances and getting really into the reality of a relationship with Christ. And I tell you, I'm excited about this. We are reaching as far with the gospel as we can. You know, last week I said when I was encouraging people to become partners that we spend about $600,000 a month on television. Well, this week we're spending over $1 million, amen. Our debt just went up dramatically because we have expanded and gone on new networks. If you would like to help me reach out and touch people's lives, I'd like to encourage you to become a part of this. We have a number on your screen, and you can call and get information about becoming a Gospel Truth partner today.
I'd like to thank all the partners that have been with Andrew even before I knew him. I came across Andrew in 2000, and I know that there were people that had been sowing into that ministry for decades before I ever heard about it. And so I thank God for them and their faithfulness in the early days, in the beginning, to put Andrew on radio, to allow him to print free tapes and to send those out to people, because it was through those partners and their giving generously that I heard Andrew on that radio station, and that my life's been changed, and I believe that the lives of people that I'll be able to impact will be changed through the same message.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. This is going to be a special time. I've got a special announcement to share with you. This will be my first time to share it publicly. And I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
This guy called Andrew Womack began talking one day, and I was so impressed with his clarity, the way he would look at the Word of God as it really is. And also how he would make that relevant to us. And that's what I'm always after when I listen to any ministry, to what extent it's faithful to the Word. But I realize that I'm often not faithful to the Word. I make assumptions about things. And I found a man in Andrew Womack who never makes assumptions. He looks at what it says, he reckons that's the voice of God, and he tells us what God is saying.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if what we're preaching and giving people faith for is come to Jesus so your sins will be forgiven and you won't go to hell, well, then that's what they've got faith for. That's where they're living, and they have done it so that they can avoid hell. But they don't have as a goal intimate, close, personal relationship with Jesus.
He said on this particular tape, he said, look at John 3:16 as you've never looked at it before. It's the first time I've ever seen it. And he read it to us. And he said, for years, the church has tended to emphasize that the purpose of God sending his Son was that we should not perish. And though that's wonderfully true, and I shall not go to hell because of what Jesus did, the point, he said, is everlasting life. The purpose of our salvation is we should have everlasting life. I found there are 60 references in John's Gospel alone to life. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes me free at last from the law of sin and death. And I'm so grateful to dear Andrew Womack for pointing that out. I'd read it, of course I had, thousands of times. I'd never seen it. But he was used of God to show me what God is really saying instead of what I thought he was saying, which is wonderful, just wonderful.